Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of Valley Grove Baptist Church. We are thankful you stopped by to hear from God's Word, to grow closer to Him, and to be inspired to reach your area of influence. Matthew chapter 11, we're going to be reading verses 28 through 30. Very popular passage that we're going to read today. But before we get started, let's go over our memory verse, all right? Our memory verse in your bulletin. You can look at it. Went over it at the end of the service last week. So let's go over it again today, all right? I'll let you turn, just give you a second more. Here we go. Here's our memory verse. Genesis 50, 20. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. Genesis 50, 20. Very good, very good. Over the last 10 days or so, just being honest with you here this morning, the latest world events that have been going over the last 10 days have been a little jarring, a little shocking, and they brought to my memory some things that we are burdened by, right? That we voluntarily pick up and carry with us that weigh our life down. Y'all ever done? You ever had one of those before? I'm gonna get a witness this morning. No, you've picked up something along the way in your life and you toted it around, and at some point you may or may not have let go of it. You were like, and we've all collectively said, I feel like a weight has been lifted off of me, right? Anybody ever said that? So this week, as I was thinking about this based off of world events that were going on, I looked, and believe it or not, there are people who study things that are the biggest burdens or things that people worry or fear or have anxiety over the most. Did y'all know that's actually a research poll? I didn't until this week. So I found like three, and I want to give you the top things that as of last year most Americans were worried about. And did you know this research poll showed that Americans are some of the most worrisome people in the world? That was kind of shocking. I didn't realize this. Here we go. Here's some. Number one. These are in descending or ascending order. So we're starting at the bottom. Number one, federal spending and the federal budget, or lack thereof, really, right? Is there really a federal budget? No. Two, immigration. Three, the 2020 election. Four, sexual harassment. Five, drug use. Six, crime and violence. And the most popular thing that, according to this Gallup poll survey, I believe, is who it was from, said that year after year is the most common or most prevalent thing that we as Americans worry about. You want to know what it is? Healthcare. Healthcare. That is the one thing that most, and is consistently higher than every other topic year after year for the decade or more that they've done this study. It was blew me away. And let's be honest, I was reading over this list and I was like, well, yeah. So I made my own list, right? You know, because let's be honest, federal spending in the budget, I'm not really worried about that. Maybe I should be, but I'm not. Drug use, I don't use drugs, so I'm not really worried about that. Maybe I should be. Crime and violence, well, maybe a little bit. Healthcare, it is what it is, right? You're going to pay a lot and not use it, and then when you use it, you're still going to have to pay. So, you know, anyway. So here's my list as of this week as I was studying. All right, number one, war with Iran, popular topic, right? Just a little bit, you know. Two, fear of failure. Three, political turmoil. Four, infringement on Second Amendment rights. Five, having enough money in retirement, right? Six, something happening to Holly or I. And my greatest worry at this point in my life is my kids. Right? So those are mine. I don't know. You got some this morning. I'm sure you do. We all do. There's all things that we carry around that we are. I'm really back here. Feedback, yeah. A little feedback going on this morning. Thank you, Ms. Reba. All right, so we all have, no matter what stage of life we're in, from teenagers on up to senior adults, we all have things that are burdens in our life, or that we voluntarily pick up and allow to be burdens in our life, right? So not only people in here, people outside, people you meet at Walmart, on the ball field, at work, we all have things that are that weigh us down and stop us from, that's good, thank you, that stop us from being all that we could be or should be as followers of Jesus Christ. So I want to read you a passage this morning because Jesus speaks to this issue in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Here we go. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, or your translation may say burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. All right, let's read one more time. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden or burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In this section of Scripture, Jesus has moved. If you go back to the beginning of chapter 11 and the end of chapter 10, transition to chapter 11, you will see that right at that transition, Jesus was teaching just the disciples. So that's the 12, right? And then as we move into chapter 11, you will see that he moves from teaching just the disciples to the entire crowd. Now, you've got to remember that point because it's going to be key at the end of the message, okay? So remember, so he's teaching the crowds. First, some disciples or followers of John the Baptist come up and ask Jesus a question, and he answered it. And then he proceeds to tell one of my favorite parables in the entire Bible, the children in the market. He tells that parable, which leads into our verses here. Okay, so there's a crowd of people around him, and Jesus is saying, hey, y'all come to me. I'll take all of your burdens or your unnecessary weights, and I will give you something that's easy and light. The illustration that Jesus is using is an agricultural illustration. Back in that day, and some of you may have done this before, if you ever had a mule or you worked on a farm with a mule, this will be, you'll kind of understand where we're going here. But in those days, pre-industrial revolution, they used animals to plow the ground. And the idea of the yoke is that wooden frame thing that would either be made for a single ox or a double ox. So it would be a big thing that had two humps or one hump. And it was put on the neck of the ox, and then it was strapped in, right, underneath. And then there were some bolts or hangers of some kind on the wooden part of the straight pieces that would be held together by leather straps or something that would hook to whatever your plowing implement was. And the person, the farmer at season, would hook the ox up, and he would hook the plow up, and then they would hit the field and they would go. Now, I've never done that, but that looks arduous for both the ox and the farmer, right? It looks very hard. Like, I'm glad I, whew, thank you, Lord, right? That looks very difficult. I've done some difficult things in my life. That is not one of them, and I'm kind of glad for it, right? And so that's the process. So the idea is that Jesus is saying, 2 points, really. I want to make 2 points out of this passage and then kind of slide into our application. Jesus is making two incredibly clear but yet powerful points this morning. Okay, here's the first one. So you're taking notes. Here's number one. Number one, all of us wear a yoke of some kind. All of us wear a yoke of some kind. Jesus, look at what Jesus says. Jesus doesn't say, I will give you no yoke. He just says, mine is easy and light. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. Jesus is trying to illustrate the point that all of us are wearing some kind of device that allows us to be led by something or someone. Right? Everybody. Even the people who are independent spirits. You know, those people in school who were just different, and they were like cool, and everybody wanted to be like them, and they just did what they wanted to do. Yep. Y'all didn't have that person in school, okay? Maybe you were that person. There you go, right? Maybe so. But you know, there's people in life that you meet that they just do things. They're innovators. They cut the grain. They cut against the grain. And even those people are still led by something or someone. And so Jesus is saying, and you've got to get this. We all have a yoke. Jesus is just offering us a different one. A better one. What Jesus says here is, he says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. Right? And so I was thinking, as I was looking over my notes this morning, doing a little extra reading, you know, there are a lot of things in life that, if we're honest, cause us to be weary and heavy laden. We mentioned some. Now, Jesus is probably, as one commentator I read, probably referring to the Pharisees, right? Because later on in the New Testament, he would accuse the Pharisees, right? Accuse the Pharisees of laying heavy burdens on people, right? So let's just turn it this way. Sometimes we can put extra religious burdens on people. Okay? Now, the other group that this commentator said that Jesus is probably referring to is, he's referring back to the Old Testament and to oppressors of Israel. So bad people are people outside the family of God, so to speak, oppressing those people who are in the family of God. So here's the distinction. We've got religious oppressors, and we've got outside influence oppressors. Now, I want you to think back in your life really carefully. Who or what are some of the people that have laid extra weights on you? Right? Some of them, if we're not careful, are pastors. Right? I went to a church when I was in my 20s. It wasn't my church. It's not where I grew up. It's not where Holly and I were actually married. It's not the church I was serving at, but it was a church in Georgia, a pastor who I deeply revered up to this point. And we went to his church for a Bible conference. Do you know what was in the foyer? It would be like right over there somewhere. In the foyer as you walked into the church. I don't remember. It would have been 20. We got married. 2005. See, I knew that. Right? 5. Thanks, Ben. I appreciate the help. We were married like a day apart. The same. Appreciate that. Anyway, so 2006, 2007, somewhere around in there. We go down to this guy's church. There's this big preaching conference. When you hit the front door, the 2007 church-approved dress code guidelines on a poster about this tall on an individual stand. Right there, I lost complete respect for that guy. Because you know what he's saying? Here's what he's saying. If you don't dress good enough, if you don't have the right clothes, if you don't spend enough money on what you wear, you're not worthy enough to come in here and hear the message that we have. Now look, I grew up in, I've done youth ministry for a decade or more. I get it. There's some things you don't need to wear to church, right? Can we get a yes?
Yes.
Thank you. I get it. Like, I get it. Okay? I was a teenager once. I get it. But really? What is that dude doing? He is laying oppressive burdens on people that are in excess, that are weighing them down. Because he's saying the only people who can hear from God are those who are dressed right. That's ridiculous. Jesus never says that. So who's the other group that oppresses us? Outside influences, right? That are not part of the family of God. Outside influences. Right? Ladies, there are a lot of outside influences for you. Holly loves to watch these makeup videos and hair videos. You know, like just... Anyway, I'm telling you what my video of choice is now. I love watching chiropractor videos. Man, they are awesome. Like, oh, it just makes me feel better watching. And then last night, I got into watching this dude do a Turkish massage on this guy in a barbershop. My head felt better after just watching the other guy on the video get a massage. I was like, oh, man, oh, yeah, man, it feels better already. Right? It's like, oh, man, right? But hey, ladies, if we're not, let's be honest. I'm going to try to be honest for y'all. If y'all aren't careful, you can have outside influences on what beauty looks like. You got to wear this size, be this hair color, with this skin type, with this skin tone, with this eyeshadow, with this lipstick, with this blush. Did I do good? All right, right? There's outside influence that are weighing you down that says if you don't look, do, act and this way, you're not beautiful. Right? Then for us, there's other outside influences that says if you don't make this, have this toy, this truck, could this vehicle, do this, go here, then you're not a provider. Right? And so we have both of these forces. If we're not careful, we're picking up these extra burdens and it's weighing us down to immobility for some of us. And that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying we're all wearing a yoke of some kind. Which one are you wearing? Because Jesus says, I'm going to give you a better one that is light and easy. So here's the second thing we learn from this passage. Okay, first is we all wear a yoke of some kind. The second thing is, Jesus is a gentle and humble leader. Unlike the harsh taskmasters of life, like the Pharisees or the oppressors, Jesus is a gentle and lowly in heart, or humble leader. Meaning Jesus is not going to rule with a reign of terror in your life and beat you down like a ruthless dictator, but instead he is going to lift you up. How is he going to lift you up? I'm going to give you two ways, okay? So point two has two ideas with it. How is Jesus going to lift you up? Number one, listen carefully. Jesus does not burden you with items that are outside your jurisdiction. I'm going to read that again. Jesus does not burden you with items that are outside of your jurisdiction. All right, can I explain that a little bit? Here we go. I've heard growing up my entire life, and I'm going to go ahead and say this. I don't agree with this statement I'm about to give you, and I'm going to tell you why. I've heard growing up my entire life, Travis, God's not ever going to give you anything you can't handle. That's a pile of hooey. That is not true. There have been many points in my life where God has absolutely given me more than I can handle. You know why he does that? Because he wants me to rely on him, not my own strength. Because if I only have things that I can deal with, I don't need God. So when God absolutely will give you things that are more than you can bear, to realize how much you need him, and two, it pushes you outside of your box. Because we're all people of path of least resistance. And as long as we can stay in our box, we don't need God, and we're not challenged, and we just live right there. Right? One of my goals, and I'm not successful every year, but one of my goals every single year is to learn something new. Right? Because I don't ever want to get stale inside my box. Now, some years I'm very successful. Last year was kind of a so-so. I was 50%, right? So this year, got to make it, right? Learn something new, because I don't want to get stuck in that same rut and stuck in that same box, right? And so Jesus is saying, he's not saying God will never give you more than you can bear. That's not what I'm meaning by Jesus doesn't give you things that are outside your jurisdiction. Here's what I mean. Jesus is not going to burden you with things that are outside of your control. Let me give an example. The 2020 election. I'm sure it's on the minds of everybody in here today, but guess what? None of us by ourselves can control the outcome of the election. Not one of us. Now, I plan on using my vote, and I hope you do too, but I cannot make one candidate win or lose by myself. I can't control the outcome. I don't know who's going to win, but I know that God's on the throne, and that's his responsibility. I can't go out and change... I can't go out and change all the left-leaning Democrats in California to vote for another candidate. I can't do that. Right? Why am I going to try to be the judge, jury person and execute and put in my jurisdiction something that I can't control? Jesus didn't ask me to worry about that. He allowed me the privilege to have a vote, and I plan on using it. But he didn't say, Travis, you need to fret, worry, and be anxious about who's going to win the election. He didn't say that. I didn't see that anywhere. All right, second thing. Look, this whole thing with Iran. Guess what? It's in our minds this week. I can't control whether we go or not go or what happens in the future. I'm not the president. And neither are any of us. So if we do, we do. And if we don't, we don't. Now, sure, there are some ramifications for both. Let's be honest. But it's not within any of our jurisdiction to decide one way or the other. Because if it were, we would be the president. And none of us are. Look, my kids. There are some decisions I hope my kids make in the future. And there are some decisions I hope my kids don't make in the future. And as a parent, I see this is, y'all want my, Travis's philosophy on parenting right here. It may not be good. It may be terrible. But this is the way we roll at the Gray Mousel. My philosophy on parents is I'm to be the banks of the river for my kids. They're here. We want them to end up down there. Now, obviously, as parents, we all want to go a straight line. But reality says we never go a straight line. The river does like this. And when is the river dangerous? When it floods. And what happens when it floods? It gets out of the banks. So as long as Holly and I can be strong enough to be in the banks, and I'll be honest with you, with little Tanner, bless his sweet heart, we are like sheer cliffs, straight down, right? And sometimes you have to be that way. But there are some decisions that I hope, and we're trying to prepare them to make good decisions. But like, look, the decision on what, who my boys are going to marry, I can't worry about that right now. Because who's going to have to pick? We're not doing arranged marriages, by the way. So there's that. Throw that out there. So who's going to pick? They are. And sure, we want to be influencers and we want to help and we want to do all that. But today, we just worry about spelling words next week. Right? Have y'all seen third grade spelling words? Oh my gosh. It's unbelievable. Like that's what we worried about this week. Like, that's down the road. That's outside my jurisdiction box right now. And so my point is, Jesus is never going to put on you things that He's in charge of. He's never going to put those things on you. Right? So things that are outside of your window of control, let them go. Because God never asked you to be in charge of them. That's His responsibility. Or someone else's. Secondly, how is Jesus a gentle and humble leader? How is He not a ruthless dictator, but lifts us up? Not only does He not burden us with items that are outside of His jurisdiction, number two, Jesus is the solution to all of these questions. Let me give you a statement. I talked to one of my friends, just moved back to the area recently, and he said this about the gospel, and it was very profound over lunch. He said, sometimes we act like the gospel of Jesus Christ is the shallow end of the pool. You know, like one of those pools that you walk into, like that it gradually gets deeper? He says, we act like the gospel of Jesus Christ is the shallow end of the pool, as if the gospel is just how we get into the pool, but then we need to move past it to something greater and better. He continued. He said, but the gospel is the whole pool, shallow and deep end. It should, listen to this, here's the last one. It should be transforming our lives every day about all things. Can I tell you how that worked in my life? When I thought the gospel was just the shallow end of the pool, that's how I came to faith in Christ, but then it was my job to worry about everything else after I came to Christ. And what my buddy here is reminding us is that it is Jesus' job, the gospel's job, to continually transform you. And I shouldn't worry about these things because that's where Jesus comes in and He's already got the answer. Jesus already knows who's going to win the election. Right? He already knows. He knew. He knew 1,000 years ago who was going to win. Right? And in 1,000 years, if we make it that long, He'll know who's going to win the election then too. So there's no use worrying and fretting about it. Because Jesus, if we'll just focus on Jesus and transforming our lives each and every day, that should be our goal. That should be our concern. That should be what we're moving toward. Not taking up all of these things and either ourselves taking and putting them on our back or either allowing someone else to put burdens on our back. Right? We got to get rid of that because Jesus says, my yoke is easy and light. And it's easy and light. Let's recap. It's easy and light because Jesus doesn't put things on our back that don't belong, that aren't in our window of control. And He's the solution to all the answers that we're trying to find in some way, shape, or form. So let me ask you a question. Remember what I said was important to remember about the story. Who's Jesus talking to? The disciples or the crowd? The crowd. Very good. Good job. There we go. All right. Jesus is talking to the crowd. So you know what that means for us today? This message we're talking about today is not just for us. Who's it for? Everybody. That includes the people who are outside of these walls who aren't here today or who are in your area of influence who don't know Jesus. Because listen to me. If you and I and we have burdens and we know Jesus, how much more do people who don't know Jesus have unnecessary burdens and weights that are weighing them down and driving them in the ground? The answer is a lot. How do they become unburdened? There's only one way. It's through a relationship with Jesus Christ. So if Jesus says this, is saying this message to us today, listen to me, let me dive, because here's kind of the second part of what our church is about. Not only are we about moving ourselves toward Christ, that's what we're doing in this moment, but we're also about moving others toward Christ as well. And how are we going to move others toward Christ if they are weighed down with burdens and unnecessary weights? We've got to tell them. Right? We've got to invite them over to dinner and build relationships with them. We've got to talk to them on the ball field. Listen to me. If you've never been to the ball field lately, you should go. You'll have a great time. You'll scream and holler and, and you'll see my kid climbing the fences. Right? And you'll have a great, and you know what you'll be able to do? You'll be able to talk to people you've never seen before, who are your neighbors, who live in this county. And many of them don't go to church and don't have a relationship with Jesus and are weighed down by the burdens of life. Right? And you can meet them. And you know what you can do? You can build a relationship with them. And you can share Christ with them at some point after you've built this relationship with them so that they can become unburdened by the same things that were burdening you before you came to Jesus. But you got to get out and you got to share and you got to do and you got to meet people. And let me tell you one way that we can do this. And this is, remember last week I gave you a goal. So this week I want to give you our second goal. So last week our goal was more people in Sunday school. Our first goal for this year is to have more people in Sunday school at the end of the year than we started the year. Okay? Here's goal number two. We as a church and we as individuals have got to be more engaged where people are. Where are people? On the ball field, at Walmart, school, volunteer school. Here's another way. This one's easy. This one takes like zero effort. Like, not zero, but like 1% effort. You know what it is? This sucker right here. Did you know that for most of us, there is more information about us on our phones than is in our home? Anybody wear a smart watch? Tracks your blood pressure? Yeah, guess what? You've got more information about you on your phone than you've got at home. And it can be one of the most dangerous weapons, but it can be one of the greatest weapons and greatest tools we have. Right? Let me give you one example. Y'all may be familiar with this one, but I want to show you how big this has gotten over the last 6 months. So, one of my buddies started a prayer movement. I hate to say movement because it wouldn't be a movement at the time he started. He had an idea about getting people together to pray. And he's like, how can I do this? And so he started on Twitter, right? Twitter's a social media app that connects people together, right? So he started on social media, a reasonably big account, but not huge. I think it's about 10,000 followers. He started this prayer movement on Wednesdays, and he wanted to do it Wednesdays at like 1:11, specific time on Wednesday. He was just asking, hey, we just want you to pray. And so people were like, well, what are we praying about? He's like, hey, that's up, but that's between you and the Lord. We just want to pray. Okay? Now I want you to listen to this. This started less than a year ago. Less than a year ago. Okay? Follow with me. This is going to be big. Less than a year ago. Can you pull up the first slide with all the flags on it? In less than a year, this is how many countries are involved. Countries. There's 28, and that may not even be all of them. 28. 2 to 3 weeks ago, this prayer movement trended. Now, I want you to think about this. Trended third on Twitter worldwide. Do you know how many people have to use a hashtag bended knee? Do you know how many people have to use that for it to trend third? A lot. Third, right? This January 28th, so in 2 weeks, they're shooting to have 1 million people globally pray at the same exact time. Right now, go to the next page. Right now, some people, not this guy, but some people who are a part of the prayer movement have started putting posters up. You see what that's in front of for you in the back that can't read it? That's Hell's Angels of Oakland. So some dude printed out a poster on his own personal computer and went and taped it to the post right outside. Now go to the next one. This one's also in Oakland, and that's Planned Parenthood. Right? Here's the cool thing. You all know the person who started this. It was our buddy Scott. And do you know where he started it from? Right up the road in a farmhouse in Thomaston. And now, because one person said, hey, we need to start praying. Now, go back to the flag picture. 28. Now, I want you to look at some of these flags that are in there. It blows my mind. China. There's people in China. It's hard to be a Christian in China. Right? Sweden, Norway, France, Japan, Korea, Brazil, Canada, Great Britain, Australia. I think the one with the two green stars, is that Iraq? Yes. Iraq. How hard is it hard to be a Christian in Iraq and somebody from Iraq? And how do they know they have it Iraqi? Because somebody in Iraq hashtagged it. That's how. Because somebody who was a part of this church said people need to pray. And now, I just talked to Scott this morning. He said, I'm pretty confident we're going to be able to get 1 million people to be praying on January 28th at 1:11. So that's 1 million people praying at the same time. Right? Why? Because somebody took their phone or their computer and said, I'm not going to do it just to waste time, which is fine. I get that. I watch Turkish massage videos at the barbershop. I get it, okay? Right? I watch chiropractor videos and my back feels better. Right? I get it. But at some point, we've got to say, how can we meet people where they are? One of our goals this year for our church is to be more involved in technology and social media. So we're upgrading our website. We're going to be creating, I'm really excited about this, a custom app for our church. We're going to introduce online giving and some other things. Why? Because I believe we have a special message that needs to be heard by your friends and my friends and people in this community. And where are all those people? They are on their phones. And they are at the ballpark. And they are at the school. And they are at Walmart. And they are everywhere in this county. Right? And so our goal should be to help them be unburdened by the weights they're carrying now. And one of the things that we can do, you know how easy it is to hit share on your Facebook? It's not hard. It's real easy. You know how easy it is? One of the other things we're going to be doing, and I'm not saying this to be like boastful or prideful, so know my heart, but one of the things y'all have asked for and we've been trying to work on is getting Sunday sermons online. That's one of the things that we're working on, so that you may can share it with someone who's in a need, right? You can send it to someone. It's not hard. All you have to do is hit a couple buttons and hit send, right? But we've got to use this thing to the best degree for the glory of God and for the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that our friends and neighbors and people in our area of influence can be unburdened just like we were at one point in our life, and we continue to be. So here's your challenge for today. Here's your challenge for today. Your challenge is very simple. Of course, we want to be constantly moving ourselves closer to Jesus every day, right? We want to continue to grow in Bible study and in prayer. But listen, folks, we have got to get to the point. This year, we have got to make a concerted effort at moving other people closer to Jesus. One way you can do it is be a part of Scott's praying event. It's every Wednesday at 1:11. Every Wednesday at 1:11. Right? And look, I've missed it a couple times. So like if you're at 1:21 and you're like, oh, I forgot to pray. Just pray then. It's only 3 minutes. 3 minutes. 1:11 to 1:14. That's all you got to do. If you miss it, just pray another time. That'll be cool. God, you know, prayers will still go up. It'll work. All right? It's okay. Another way you can do that is by simply being a friend to people when you meet them. Another way is by inviting them to church. We got to invite people to church, right? So here's the thing. We need to constantly be moving ourselves closer to Jesus. But this year, here's our challenge. We've got each of us have to make a dedicated effort to help someone else move closer to Jesus as well. That's your challenge. Move yourself closer to Jesus, absolutely. But you've got to make a dedicated effort with me, with us, to help others move closer to Christ as well. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this glorious day that you have created. Lord, we are so blessed and privileged to be here today. Lord, there are many in countries that we just talked about that don't have the opportunity to be involved in a corporate worship setting like this. So Lord, help us not to waste that opportunity and that blessing. Lord, help us not to use it frivolously. Lord, to use it foolishly. But Lord, may we take this time. Lord, may you implant in us the message that you would have us here today. Lord, may it go deep in our soul. May it produce fruit so that when we walk out of these doors, Lord, we are trying to help other people in this world who are weighted down by the cares and burdens of life. Lord, may we help them find rest and ease, Lord, by finding you. Lord, may this year, 2020, the start of a new decade, Lord, may we be dedicated more than we ever have before, not for ourselves, but for others. Lord, for others, so that they might know you like we know you. Lord, may we respond in these moments ahead as we sing and we worship again through song. Lord, may we respond to you as we need to. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. For more information about Valley Grove, visit our Facebook page or website, valleygrovechurch.org.